Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the Wrestling Podcast, where we talk about wrestling and stuff.
Yeah.
We're kind of, this show continues to evolve. As we're recording this, we're recording it with headsets.
Yeah.
First time doing that.
First time. I feel like such a nerd.
We ordered these for the three count show, which we're going to talk about in a minute, because we didn't want to have handheld mics to do the color commentary. So we do want to talk about the three count show, because that is something we want to talk about on the show. We get all your cards and letters. You hate WWE right now. Raw's terrible. Well, we're not going to talk about that. It's Christmas time. We're going to talk about good stuff.
That's right.
We're going to talk about, listen, if you live in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, there is no reason that you're not going to good indie wrestling. There's just no excuse.
There is not one dang excuse.
Can you think of one?
Not a one. And I'm sitting over here as you ramble on, flipping through my mental Rolodex for reasons not to go see good wrestling. And as I have said before on the show, and as some people have nominated me for quote of the year.
That's right.
Life's too short to watch bad wrestling.
Yeah.
So I don't do it.
So I want to.
I don't care what you think about bad wrestling.
Right.
Let me say that.
Listen, right now there is...
If I'm not watching it, I sure don't want to hear you bitching about it.
Well,
Sorry about that.
Well, no, there is the internet wrestling community has really become an echo chamber. You know what I mean? Where...
It's monkey see, monkey do.
Everybody's saying the same thing. We all feel... the same thing. There is a sense of frustration. I appreciate, I believe his name's Robert Truesdell on Facebook, and he does a podcast, Wrestling with Redbeard, and he came to the three count show, and he had a really good point. He drove 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours to come to the show in Pickens.
Uh-huh.
And he mentioned, hey, if you go to WWE, it's going to cost you this and this and this and this and this. I'm coming to this show for $10.
Right.
And very good.
And saw a heck of a show.
He did. He did. And
so did we, from the best seat in the house.
We had amazing seats.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to youtube.com/daddyheath, you can see some of the promos for the three count leading up to this show. You can see the main event highlights and the aftermath. And let's get into it. I was very excited. The West Side Rumble back in September. Was the first three count show that we did commentary on.
Yes, sir.
And they just did a great job that night of building the storylines Country Santa Clash 3,
uh-huh,
which is basically their WrestleMania. And it was just a great show. It was great to be a part of. There was you talk about a great crowd. I don't know that they were quiet the whole night.
In Pickens?
Right.
Yeah, they weren't. It was nice, man. The only time they were quiet was when the American Nightmare 6 made his way to the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, and that was not because there was no reaction to him. The reaction was, wow, and this guy's creepy. And that's the reaction. He got the reaction that he wanted.
Yeah.
And that he should have got, is what I mean. When I say there was no reaction for him, the non-reaction was the reaction. I mean, it was like everybody just kind of stepped back because this creepy music hit. And this creepy guy comes out, and he looks like what you think the American Nightmare would look like. And
for him, that was the pop he wanted, in that you could hear pin drop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, I mean, there were kids that were scared of him.
Yes.
And there were some grown-ups that were scared of him.
Yes, this journalist being one of them.
Yeah, you were. You were. I could tell you peed a little.
I did. Coming out. Yeah. I peed a little bit in my pants.
I smelled it.
Oh, goodness gracious.
But you always kind of smell like urine.
Do I really?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what it is.
Well, I...
You got this ammonia smell that comes off of you that...
Oh. Hmm. That's interesting. You know, I'm not going to come back at you just because I'm in a good Christmas spirit. So Six wrestled Jay Batista, and just a wasn't ballet.
No.
Just hard hitting
match. Yeah, but it was a good match.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I thought every match on the card was good. I really did. Yeah, I mean, there wasn't, and I'm not just saying that. I mean, I really enjoyed every match on the card for what it was.
That's right.
And it was nice to be part of a show like that where the good guys were good and the bad guys were bad.
Right.
And the fans wanted to cheer the heroes.
Yeah.
And they wanted to boo the villains. And when the bad guy had the upper hand, or the villain had the upper hand, the fans were cheering on the good guys to make a comeback. And when they did make that comeback, the crowd would pop for it.
Yeah.
God, it was just so refreshing.
Yeah.
To be a part of a crowd of people that was pulling for wrestling and not in an iron. They weren't like cheering for the heel because he was cool.
Right.
Or cheering or booing somebody ironically. I mean, you know, there were no
this is awesome chants. They didn't chant for us. They did. Yeah, yeah. No, this is awesome chants. Yeah. One thing I appreciate.
It was just nice, man. I enjoyed just being there with a wrestling crowd, an old school wrestling crowd that wanted to see an old school wrestling card.
Right.
And wanted to play their part.
I always appreciate Eric Bowman when the commissioner, when he opens the shows, and he just puts it very plainly, cheer who you want to cheer and boo who you want to boo. And it's almost like he's giving people permission to do what they want to do. And I think that's one of the reasons that three count crowds are always so active, is they are that crowd that they're not trying to get themselves over. They're trying to watch a good wrestling show.
Right. I think for the most part, you have people, because, I mean, we both live in kind of rural areas.
Yeah.
In small town South Carolina, and they remember wrestling that they grew up with, which was clearly defined villains and clearly defined heroes. And when you're in the crowd, you're not the show. You're part of the show. You're part of the scenery. Of the show, and you're part of the atmosphere, but the show is not the crowd.
Right.
And I'm sick of wrestling crowds that think they're the show.
Right. Nobody paid to see you.
No.
I don't pay $9.99 a month for the network to see how a crowd
entertains themselves.
Right.
Which, if the product was more entertaining, the crowd wouldn't have to entertain themselves.
That's very true.
When I hear... just the "this is awesome" thing, I'm sick to death of it. We've talked about it 100 times. Everybody else has talked about it 100 times. If you're emotionally invested in what people are doing in the ring, you don't have time to analyze it enough to say this is awesome.
Right.
Because you're wrapped up in the moment. I will never forget, like, for me, when I sit in that Ring of Honor, as much as I enjoy watching Ring of Honor wrestling for what it is.
Yeah.
And... it's like we've talked about it. When I go see Friday the 13th, I understand I'm not going to see the next Godfather.
Right.
So I can enjoy it for what it is. And it's the same with Ring of Honor. That's not the type of wrestling that I tend to, to like.
Right.
Which is what I perceive Ring of Honor a lot of times to be is like stuntmen doing a coordinated spot fest. And just like two guys who are 180 pounds if they got on a trampoline and did a stunt show and cut a bunch of flips. And that's the way I perceive a lot of Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't like it.
Right.
That's just what it is.
Yeah.
So when I go, I know that that's what I'm going to see.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. But when we were sitting in that crowd, and I remember somebody did something, and the guy behind us said, man, that was a great spot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we talked about that before. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
If you're watching it, and you're thinking about the fact that they're doing spots, then they're not doing their job. They're not you. There's no. That's funny. You thought I'd be the one coughing in the microphone, and there you go.
I covered it.
But you're not into it. You're watching it. You know, it would be like if we watched the new Star Wars movie and sit there and analyze the. Could I tell the scenes that were practical effects from the ones that are CGI?
Right. Takes fun out of it.
Takes fun out of it, man.
Was it
so? That's what I loved about. The guys on the three count card is that they played their roles.
And you and I, there was one point that we forgot to even be talking about the match.
Yeah.
We were both so captivated by what was happening in the ring that they pulled us in.
Yeah.
And that, but here's the thing. You have to be willing to let yourself be pulled in. And I think so many of the internet wrestling community think that's not cool anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to me, it's like, listen, okay? If you're too cool to let it pull you in, and listen, they got to earn that. They got to pull you in.
Oh, absolutely.
They
got to earn that. You don't deserve my respect just because you're an indie wrestler.
Right.
You don't deserve.
I'm even talking about WWE.
Yeah, anybody. Yeah, anybody. You don't just respect is earned.
So I'm not saying you got to watch Monday Night Raw and be captivated by everything. I'm not saying, but if you watch it and you're not even willing to get pulled in,
right?
Then just shut up and leave me alone. Right. Shut up and leave me alone. Find something else to complain about. Because you are, if I'm not careful, okay, the opinions of people who don't appreciate it, who just too cool for school, I guess is what I'm trying to say, their opinions are sullying my experience. It's like I'm going to see Star Wars and everybody's got their cell phones on and there's 100 cell phones ringing during the movie and I'm trying to suspend my disbelief. I'm trying to go to a galaxy far, far away and you won't let me. And so I say, on behalf of all of us, just watch something else.
Yeah.
Just leave me alone.
And I think we've talked about this before and it's not an original thought by me. I think Al Snow said this, that the biggest... Like, and this started a lot of this, man, was when Dave Meltzer convinced everybody that Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage was the match of the night at WrestleMania 3. Technically, was it the best wrestled match or the best worked match of the night? Absolutely. From a standpoint of what you saw in the ring, yes, it was a great match. But 90,000 people didn't show up to see that match. They showed up to watch Hulk Hogan body slam Andre the Giant.
Right.
93,000 people were there for that 1 second moment. Let me finish.
No, no.
When Hulk Hogan picked Andre the Giant up.
Yeah.
And that was an awful match. Not a great match.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination. But they sold... Whether you believe the 93,000 or the 75,000 or whatever the number is, whatever number you believe the number of tickets they sold just in that building, not to mention all the people that bought it on closed circuit or bought it on pay-per-view or bought the VHS when it come out a few months later, all of those people bought that to see Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. And the biggest lie that has ever been told to wrestling fans that started all of this was that Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat had the match of the night that night. And they didn't. Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant did because they're the ones that sold the tickets.
And part of the reason...
Yes, you saw
a
great Randy Savage and a great Ricky Steamboat do their thing.
Right.
Okay, yes, you did see that. And yes, it was a cherry on top.
Yeah, it was.
It really was. Matter of fact, I'll be honest. Yes, if you watch it, it wasn't just the cherry on top. It was the whipped cream,
sprinkles, and
the little spray. It was all of that on top. It was a great match that has stood the test of time.
Absolutely.
But it is not the match that brought all those people to that building that night.
Yeah.
And now there's this whole section of wrestling fans that I really believe are just a vocal minority. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's as many wrestling fans as people think it is. They're a vocal minority, and they've got everybody believing that cutting flips and all that crap is what matters.
Well, you go back to Hulk and Andre. They had us convinced that Andre the Giant was undefeated, and he'd never been slammed before. Now
they had us convinced that Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant had never met in a wrestling ring before.
Right.
When they had clearly wrestled in Shea Stadium with Hulk Hogan the bad guy and Andre the Giant the good guy back in the late 70s.
So sometimes for me to suspend, this is going to sound, I don't know how this is going to sound. Sometimes you got to let yourself believe a lie.
Yeah, I don't necessarily need to suspend my disbelief. I don't suspend my disbelief when I go see movies. I just go watch a movie to enjoy it.
But there is a
moment. And I watch wrestling just so I can enjoy it. I don't need the.
But isn't there a moment in the movie when you forget you're in a movie? You forget you're watching a movie?
Oh, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. But I don't think about it.
That's why I'm. Yes.
If I reach the point where if I have to say I'm suspending my disbelief,
no. Right.
That's just like chanting, "This is awesome." I don't have to think about that moment if you're good at what you do.
No. 100% agree with you. 100%. Like that's what I'm saying. It's not a conscious decision to say I'm going to suspend my disbelief. In the case of. If they couldn't do the Hogan-Andre thing today because all I got to do is go on YouTube and I can see Harley Race body slam him and all these different people, Antonio Inoki and all these people. Actually, let's be honest. None of those people are body slamming Andre. They are controlling his momentum as he jumps.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But listen, didn't none of them body slam him in front of 93,000 people?
Yeah.
And that... Listen, whoever, and I'm assuming it was Pat Patterson or somebody, as bad, that Hogan-Andre match, if you're judging it like Dutch Mantel from Smoky Mountain Wrestling and giving it Olympic scores, no, it's not going to score high. But from the bell, when he tries to slam Andre, and Joey Morell is making that count, and he barely, and Andre falls on him. And then you got the rest of the match, Jesse Ventura telling you that Morella counted three, and
yeah.
I mean, you were on the edge of your seat. And I could watch it. We could turn that match on right now. And I've seen it 25 times. And I'd still be right there. Because, I don't know. That's.
You're a Hulkamaniac.
Right. Right.
I mean, ask me now which match I'd rather watch, Hogan and Andre or Steamboat versus Savage, and I'd probably rather watch Steamboat versus Savage.
Right. No. Yeah. Yeah.
But that ain't what drew all those people to that building.
Right.
And sadly, that ain't what sold all those.
Sadly, I probably only seen that match 10 times.
Yeah.
Back to, three count. We were talking about Six and Jay Batista just had a good snot bubble match, and ref couldn't control it. They went outside the ring and double count out. And I think you said it like they ended up in the front row, like almost on top of a little kid.
Yeah, they were in the
that's the thing. When you go to a three count show, and you say you're part of the show, every show. Somebody's going into the stands.
Probably.
The show started out with a six-man match, a team we saw at Westside Rumble, Y2X, Nick Kismet, Brandon
Paradise.
Who are
great.
Yeah.
Great young tag team. I'm a big fan of theirs.
And we've seen Dirty
I don't like their attitudes, but, you know, they always want to be friends with everybody, but, you know.
And they team with Dirty.
No, they're a good team. I'm just I can't help but try to keep kayfabe alive a little bit.
Hey, no, that's fine.
You know what I mean?
And they wrestled the Highland Embassy, Sky Stallion, J.C. Harbor. Yeah. And then Don E., who we even said before the show, it was his tryout to be a part of the Highland Embassy.
And he failed.
He did. He's the one that got pinned off a great flying body press by Dirty. I mean,
that Dirty boy, he's a high flyer.
He is. He is. And that was a.
And then, of course, anytime you know, my boy is the Highland Embassy. My favorite wrestler, Joshua Gillespie, kind of took these guys under his wing, and he's trying to get them squared away. And Don E. thought he was going to get in with the Highland Embassy, and he lost, and they dumped him on his gourd.
Yeah, he probably sustained some sort of knee injury during that match. Anyway, that footage will be.
Well, when you cross the Highland Embassy and you don't hold up your end of the bargain, those are the breaks. You know what I mean?
Right, right. We saw. Sorry, it was such a good card. My brain is. What was that?
The three-way match.
Okay.
So we talked about Batista and.
Let's talk about the three-way match.
And the Nightmare, and then that.
So BJ Hancock, Billy Brash. And Oscard. I had not seen Oscard wrestle,
right.
Billed as everyone's favorite wrestler. I'm going to tell you, BJ Hancock got the win. The one who impressed me the most in this match, just because I saw some things from him I hadn't seen before, and that was Billy Brash.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I like Billy Brash.
Billy Brash, I don't know the word I'm looking for. The move that won the match was like a RKO from the apron.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I didn't know Billy had that in his repertoire.
Yeah.
And it was great move. And then BJ Hancock, whether you like it or don't like it, snuck in there, got rid of Billy Brash, and really, in my opinion, stole the pinfall from him.
Yeah. I'm always in favor of doing something sneaky and underhanded. You know, I always say, why stand on the ground and tell the truth when you can climb up a tree and tell a lie? I was torn between BJ Hancock and Billy Brash. I'm starting to lean a little more toward Billy Brash, thinking he's got a future, man. I wish he'd won.
Yeah, he.
I picked him, but I couldn't decide which one I wanted to win. Then when BJ won, I thought, you know, I wish Billy Brash would have won that match.
Now, let me ask you this. I thought
mainly because I like his cool mustache.
Yeah, best mustache in the business.
Right.
I really thought BJ Hancock and Billy Brash would do more, would work together more.
Yeah.
And ended up working against each other.
Yep.
More.
Yep. Yep.
But I'd love to see all three of those guys. Up and comers, Oscard, great athlete. Was he the one that got to the top rope in about half a second?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good night. That was impressive.
All three of those guys were good that night.
The match,
any one of them could have walked away with the victory.
That's right. That's right. And if you're doing your three count top 10, those three guys have got to be right there. If you're talking about contenders for Ken Magnum's title,
yeah,
those three names have got to be in there.
Oh, yeah.
That was Oscar's first. I can't remember if that was his first show with Three Count or his first show in a while. But I think
was his first show with
but even in the loss, very impressive. Yeah. And
I would say he's just on the outside of the top 10 right now, given that he didn't win his match. And,
I mean,
you got to win to move up.
This is true. This is true. The match before intermission, I mean, Cedric Alexander and Gunner.
Yeah, that was good.
Was really looking forward to that because of the contrast in styles.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm a big fan of Cedric Alexander's anyway, so.
Yeah, you've warmed up to him since his attitude's changed.
Yeah, I like it, man. I like it. Anytime you decide to stop glad-handing and hugging fans and trying to be everybody's pal, I'm always a fan of that.
Listen, when you go to let's say you pay $150 for ringside tickets at Raw. Chances of you getting a one-on-one interaction with a wrestler where they're talking, you're talking trash back and forth, slim and none.
Right.
Especially during a match that's being televised. Most of the time, a wrestler's not going to stop what he's doing and jaw at you. Not so at three count. Three count, I love the fact that our fans feel the freedom to tell guys how they feel about them.
Right.
And then Cedric Alexander, some people let him know how disappointed they were in this new change of attitude of his.
Right.
And he was very happy to tell people that...
he didn't care what they thought.
He did not care, and they need to stay where they were and let him do his job.
That's right. And I appreciated that about him.
Well, oh my goodness.
Tell you what, Gunnar slimmed down too, hadn't he?
He's a lot more cut.
Yeah. He looked good, man.
Looks great. Is it Navy SEALs versus Zombies, the movie he's in? I have not seen that yet.
Oh, I don't know. You think he trimmed down for that?
May have been. He's working indies, working a lot at PWX in North Carolina.
Yeah.
They put on a great match.
Like he lost like 20 pounds or more.
May have been. Listen, contrary to popular belief, I'm not actually a doctor.
Really?
I'm not. But he looked like, you say, he looked great and had a good match. One with the powerbomb there at the end. That's a match we're going to be posting. And I just can't say enough about the athleticism and the... And combined now, whether you like it or not, the attitude of Cedric Alexander.
Oh, yeah, man. That change in attitude. He's winning matches.
Because he's not just... how do I want to say this? There's a personality there.
Yes.
That wasn't there before. We live in... you said it yourself. Vanilla midgets.
Uh-huh.
There's so many guys. They look the same. They act the same in that they don't act. They just go in there like you're saying. They're cutting flips and da-da-da-da-da and doing all this stuff.
They're doing what they think wrestlers should do.
And give me a guy like Cedric who's got the athleticism to do all of that, but yet is still going to roll out of the ring and yell at a little girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm in favor of hollering at children. Because, boy, I hate a youngin.
That's not... Yes, you do. Listen, that man ain't lying about that.
I just got to find out how Gunnar dropped that weight I'm trying to lose weight myself.
Me too.
And I want to know what Gunnar has removed from his diet that he would just lose 20 pounds like that. Because I'm trying to lose myself, and it's taken me three months to lose 20 pounds.
Right.
And he, like, dropped 20 pounds.
You got to understand, the man is, his full-time job is his body.
Well, that's true. I bet he spends a lot more time in the gym than I do. He'll probably spend more time in the gym today than I spent in the gym last year.
Yeah.
So there is that.
It could be that he has a nutritionist.
See, I cut soda out of my diet.
Right.
Even though I am drinking my
I am the bad influence on.
Well, no, I have like a Mountain Dew every few days. I'm not gonna stop living, you know what I mean? I gotta keep LIVIN. But you've never seen Dazed and Confused, have you?
I have, but it's been a while.
Yeah, you ain't ever seen it.
I have seen it.
I don't think you have.
I have seen
you just, it's not a quotable film for you.
No, like I've only seen it once.
For those of us who are cool and in the know,
right.
They'll understand. They'll get the reference.
I have seen sneakers about 50 times.
That I don't doubt. Sneakers?
Robert Redford's Sidney Poitier. Hey, it's a great movie. Dan Aykroyd.
Sidney Poitier. Like, and there's, if anything sums up me and you better than that, the yin and the yang, Mark and Heath, it's my dazed and confused reference brings you to reference Sidney Poitier.
I'm just trying to keep the culture up in this.
Sneakers, he says.
That's the movie's great. I don't even think I have it on DVD. I need to get it on DVD, man. That's a great movie.
What's it about?
It's like, well, it wouldn't be very good to watch now because it's before, like, the internet.
I doubt it was very good to watch then.
It was
but
great.
But I just want to know what it's about.
It was great then. They're trying to steal this device that hacks into any computer system.
Okay.
But it's before, like, the internet's real big. And so it's, like, on the green screen computers. And, but they're using it to, like, they're trying to use it to erase their friend who has a federal warrant out for him for something he didn't do. And it's a great movie.
Dazed and Confused is about a bunch of kids who get together, ride around in muscle cars, listen to 70s rock and roll, smoking dope and drinking beer.
And what did they make of their lives?
Well, we don't know because this is just one day.
No. What did they make? See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what's wrong with this country. They want to sit around, watch people doing nothing. You're presenting this movie. These kids, all they're doing is riding in cars. Listen, you know what you would call those people today? Losers. Riding around in cars, smoking dope, not doing anything, living off the government dime. Here I am talking about.
No, see, they're not living off the government
dime. How do you know?
Because Matthew McConaughey's character, he has a job because, as he says in the movie, it keeps a little change in his pocket.
Well, what's his job in the movie?
He works for the government in the movie.
What does he do?
I think he's on the road crew.
Hey, that's not bad work if you can get it.
You're right.
That is not bad work. Absolutely. My wife, her uncle, worked road crew. Dude was loaded.
Yeah.
Dude was loaded. People, listen.
So what you're saying is the man, he gets up, he goes to his blue-collar job every day. I'm not talking about your uncle, because you were down in the people that ride around listening to music and having a good time.
This man is a
blue-collar worker.
No,
you said it.
No.
This man's a blue-collar worker.
No.
Gets up, goes to work every day, keeping the roads safe for you to travel, for your kids to ride up and down, back and forth to school. And then on Friday nights, he wants to get together with his friends, have a few beers, listen to some music, maybe play a little foosball, and you think he's a loser.
No.
That'll always be the difference.
I'm not.
No. That'll always be the difference between guys like me and guys like. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
You said he
was a loser.
I wasn't speaking of Matthew McConaughey. He's got a job. Say stuff. I'm talking about all the freeloaders who are drinking his beer, smoking his dope, riding in his car.
No, they're not smoking his dope. They get in the car, and he asks them if they got dope. And the freeloaders that you're talking about are in high school.
Oh.
They're kids.
But when you and I were in high school, Mark, you and I, we were in the lab trying to find a cure for cancer. We were, we'd get up 5 o'clock, slop the pigs.
Say we did.
We was milking the cows. We were at school by 6 o'clock because we had to do our physical education exercises before school. Didn't eat the school breakfast, made the school breakfast, then went to school. After school, tutored underprivileged children. Then we went to the lab, worked on a cure for cancer. And if we had time when we got home, ate a Pop-Tart, and were in bed by 8 o'clock because Mom always said nothing good happens after 8 o'clock. And Mom was always right. I mean, because you and I set the – and that's my problem. Because you and I set such a high standard for morality and civic responsibility that when I watch a movie like Dazed and Confused, it makes me disappointed in the world we're living in because they don't live up to the standards you and I set.
Well, that I don't disagree with.
See, I knew I could bring it back to where you and I were on the same page. And if you're listening to this, listen – if you're a hardworking person making the bacon, listen, you want to go out Friday night riding around, which We live in a free country. You can't even go into a town riding around in a car. They've outlawed cruising.
That's true. Can't cruise no more. Ridiculous. Definitely don't be drinking and driving. We don't want to encourage anybody to do that.
No, no. Let me tell you, do they let you sit in the Belvedere Plaza parking lot anymore?
I'm 40 years old. If I go hanging around just sitting in a parking lot somewhere, I'm going to get arrested. So I don't know.
But do you, like...
I was never like a, hey, let's go sit in a parking lot guy anyway. That was never...
We had a few of those people in our crew, though, didn't we?
I'm sure we did.
Yeah.
I never went with them. Never cared about that. It was never...
We didn't have enough friends with truck. You got to have a tailgate to do that.
True. And I just, there again, didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
It was not...
You were tape trading at the time. You were doing important things. You were building the foundation of the mind of the wrestling historian sitting across the table from me today.
Well,
while I was out goofing off, you were making plans because you knew one day wrestling's going to start sucking and I'm going to need to bring people back and I'm going to need to watch some of this stuff because
right.
My broadcast partner ain't going to watch any of it.
No, he ain't. He's going to say he watched it, and then when we dig into it, I realize he watched it on Fast Forward.
You can't watch it on Fast Forward on the network because
when you hit
Fast Forward, it just pauses the screen because I was trying
to... I know. That sucks. They need to work on that.
It does suck.
At least give me a picture, like on Netflix. It'll kind of go through where there's a, so I can say, okay, right. Well, this match is over because I wanted to see this. Yeah, that sucked.
Because I spent, and I want to talk about this on another episode. I spent a good 2 hours last night. I would have just been better off to watch the episode straight through trying to find the Dusty and Nikita promo. Because that's the wrestling I grew up with. I wanted to watch it.
See, I'm like, why don't you just go to YouTube and watch it?
Because, Mark, I do a wrestling podcast. And I knew if I did that. See, I'm surprised you said that. Because I'm trying to watch.
But you didn't watch the episode.
I did.
No, no. All you were going to do was look for the promo.
No, I wanted to watch the matches. And the match right after that. The promo ends and they cut into. And Ole Anderson's already got a guy draped across the ropes.
Right.
And David Crockett doesn't even know. Ole Anderson's got him. He got him. He doesn't even know the guy's name. We don't know the people's names. So, all right, so we had intermission, and then we had this match we both had been looking forward to.
Uh-huh.
Capture the Flag ladder match. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. You've got Josh O'Gillespie and the Highland Embassy, uh-huh, and Steve Cantrell, the financial advisor, in one corner.
I guess good old Joker Armstrong.
Ace Armstrong, and in his corner, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Who's normally
sticking his nose in everybody's business.
What are you talking about? Folks, if you want to know what happened, you'll have to go and watch the match, which is going to be posted later, or maybe posted now. I don't know when we're going to be posting stuff. So.
Well, other people are posting them. They don't even work for 3 Counts. So maybe you already get hyping on them.
Yeah. Well, he's not having to balance the audio. And
true.
Just a great, hard-hitting match. Three ladders involved, maybe four. And also our announce table.
Yeah, I'm a little mad about that.
Folks, those tables... We're not talking about a little plaque. Those tables are not cheap.
No.
And that's because that's why I had it. Because it wasn't a cheap table.
Yeah.
So, first thing they do, they come over and they throw everything off our table. Poor ring bell.
I'm not listening. You and the Scottish Prince are not friends like he and I are.
Right.
And here's a little something that you don't know. He's already reimbursed me for my half of the table.
You didn't even pay for half the table.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great?
No, that's not great.
He sent me
Did he pay you in money or in Scottish money?
It's real money. I mean, he was downtrodden. He was sad, you know. But he was, you know, not apologetic because he doesn't have to apologize to me.
Well, he didn't do it. It was his henchman.
Right. But Kane, obviously, they work for him, and he come to me, and we were just kind of talking.
Well, where's my half? Where's for my half of the table?
You go ask him for it. That's what he told me to tell you.
Really? Is that what he told you?
Yeah.
Well, so they throw all our stuff off the table, and then they spray painted it the colors of Scotland.
Uh-huh.
They spray painted blue and white.
You know, I had that spray paint down there, don't you?
Huh?
You know who made sure that spray paint was down there?
Are you serious? Are you serious?
All I can tell you is Ace Armstrong was lucky he didn't walk out of there painted blue and white, because that was the intent.
Wow. Well, the road to hell is paved with some people's intentions, and sure enough, the plot of the Highland Embassy went to hell because it was Josh O'Gillespie who went through the table.
Yes, sometimes things don't work out. You know, if Ricky Steamboat hadn't stuck his nose in,
now let me
everything would have went according to Steve Cantrell's plan.
Now let me say this, okay? I want to be very clear, okay? My disrespect of the Scottish prince has only to do with his attitude, his disdain for this country, his disdain for the fans, has nothing to do with his wrestling ability or his toughness. Because even after going through the table, he came back and had a chance of winning that match.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's got intestinal fortitude, the likes of which men like you will never understand.
Guilty as charged, you know. Hey, he's in there in a ladder match, and I'm sitting there talking about it. So you definitely got me there.
Exactly.
A great, great, just two guys that didn't like each other, settled the score. And
like men.
Right.
Settled
like men. Here. And up to this point, the Scottish Prince hasn't put out, you know.
I hadn't heard much from him. I talked to him, and that's just because, and he was not real receptive to talking to me. He was so upset. There you go. He did reimburse me for the table because he's a good man, and he's a good friend. But he did not want to talk about the match at all.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we haven't seen the last of the Highland Embassy, and
he'll be back better, stronger. You know, it's what he does. It's what he does, man.
We get to the main event, and the first thing that happened is Commissioner Eric Bowman comes out and announces that Tim Smith, who we had seen other early in the night, helping with some logistical things in a neck brace.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the video again, youtube.com/DaddyHeath, Country Santa Clash 3 Aftermath, you see at the West Side Rumble, Ken Magnum DDT'd him right in the middle of the ring. Yeah. Calls some. Calls some damage, but as we would find out, not as much damage as we thought.
No, it was great. Oh,
I was excited for this match because three count wrestling is about settling things in the ring, like men.
And we did that night.
And you got two guys fighting over the title. Again, they're not trying to be the face of three count wrestling. They're not trying to be the guy on the poster. They want to be the champion, the three count wrestling champion. And to see it in like it did, just left a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. If you've seen the video, you see how emotional I was when the match is posted. You'll hear how emotional I was that night seeing something. It just has no place. It just has no place in wrestling. What happened? What? Was criminal.
Why?
It's criminal.
Criminal?
Criminal.
Explain to me how it was criminal.
You have a man who is licensed by the state of South Carolina, okay, to be an official. Let's just get one thing out of the way. Professional wrestling is a licensed sport in the state of South Carolina. Tim Smith is a licensed official with the State Athletic Commission of South Carolina. He is charged with a duty, not just through the state, but through the powers that be, the board of directors at Three Count Pro Wrestling. He has a contract to do a job. Listen.
That's what made it so great.
If
that's why it worked.
If wrestling fans, okay, it's like the NBA a few years ago. You had Tim Donahue, and you had the point shaving scandal. Not point shaving, but the game fixing. You had the crooked referee who was betting on these games. And it caused a cloud to be over the NBA for a while. This year, you've had such horrible officiating in the NFL.
Let me ask you a question before you go any further.
Yes, sir.
Are you afraid of Ken Magnan?
I'm very afraid.
Are you?
Listen.
Because I'm going to tell you, you keep running your mouth about him.
I haven't been about Ken Magnum. Yeah, I'm talking about Tim
talking
Smith.
You're talking about criminal actions, and you're talking about
I'm
Ken Magnum's associate,
right.
Tim Smith.
Ken you're Magnum may be.
Talking about a situation. Because this is about Ken Magnum.
Ken Magnum may be the loaded guns. He's a loose cannon, okay?
Yeah.
But that man needs. People have seen what he did at the West Side Rumble. This man, I've seen what he's done at other three count shows. I've seen what he's done in other promotions.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That man, I'm still debating.
Said to me, your friend better get control of his tongue or I'll get control of it for him.
Listen,
he told me, your friend better watch his mouth or I'll put it out there so he can watch it.
Listen. I may write my congressman, my South Carolina state representative.
What I'm telling
and listen, I'm protected by the First Amendment, okay? Freedom of speech.
Okay. Keep talking. That First Amendment ain't gonna stop that butt whooping that he's going to put on you if you keep running your mouth.
Listen,
I'm
just telling you that it was criminal, that Tim Smith should be stripped of his wrestling license. And I believe going into 2016 that if the three count board of directors don't do what they need to do to strip him of that license to ensure that the Athletic Commission of the state of South Carolina does not license him as an official next year, that's a dereliction of duty, in my opinion.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. You've said your piece.
Now
you have to deal with the consequences. Understand, freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequence.
Now, this is true. Okay.
So just understand that. I'm not going to stop it.
Now, that's how I would deal with it. When I brought that up to Lodi, do you know what he said?
What's that?
He said, scratch the lawyers. He just wants a rematch.
Yeah. Well,
he wants a Lodi.
He's a man.
He wants a Lodi's rules match.
Uh-huh.
I'm just still, as we're sitting here talking, this is 5 days after. I'm still in shock. I don't
know. Me too. I'm still in shock.
We're in different kinds of shock.
Yeah, it was great. I was so happy to see Ken Magnum, finally, after all the obstacles that have been put up and in his way and in his path, just to pull the wool over everybody. I love a good stab in the back.
Well, that's what it was. Well, you're getting on me for talking about Tim Smith. You had some unkind words for him as well. He deserved to get hurt.
Yeah,
said he inserted himself in.
And I told him that to his face.
Right.
Because I'm a man. I'm not talking about him behind his back on a podcast. I told Tim Smith to his face. What I thought.
Everything I just said, I said to Tim Smith's face. I told him it was a travesty of justice and that I would report him to the authorities, and I am going to report him to the authorities. Listen, wrestling loses its credibility when you cannot trust your officials to be fair and impartial and competent. Okay? And I don't know. Just ridiculous. Ridiculous. That's all I got to say. But.
All right. Well, I guess that's about it.
Well, what do you think we got? I mean, February 27th, Bowling Springs High School. What would you like to see the next three count show?
Well, I tell you, I'd like to see a rematch between Jay Batista and the American Nightmare 6. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see him some resolution to that. I hope we can get Cedric Alexander back. I want to see who's going to challenge Kent Magnum. You know, Lodi, is he going to show up and get a Lodi's Rules match? Or will it be, I think BJ Hancock maybe deserves a shot. I think Billy Brash certainly.
Ace Armstrong has to be entered into that conversation.
Yeah, Ace Armstrong. I want to see the Scottish Prince come back. And you know, I want to know what's going through his mind.
Yeah.
Does he set his sights on somebody else? Now, is it over?
Right.
Between Joshua Gillespie and Ace Armstrong? Or was that just another chapter?
Yeah.
In this feud? Are we going to see these two men bury the hatchet? I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
Are they done with each other? That's a big question that I have going forward. Are these two guys done with each other? I want to see more of Brandon Paradise and Nick Kismet.
Yeah.
More Billy Brash.
You know, we've got we got the possibilities of a very good tag team division.
Yeah.
Here in three count wrestling.
That's right.
And maybe that's something that's down the road, some tag team titles.
Yeah.
And
I'll tell you, just looking forward to the end of 2016, was talking with some of the Brain Trust there, and they told me the person this, you know, last year we brought Ric Flair.
Right.
This year it was Ricky Steamboat. If they get the guy that they want at Country Santa Clash 4 next year, we might break some attendance records.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't give that information out.
Right. Right.
That's privileged. I was told this completely off the record.
Yeah.
And I respect that. I'll do my duty to three count wrestling, but I will tell people this. If they sign the person for the next show that they want to sign that we're trying to get in touch with, we're going to set some records.
I agree.
We're going to set some attendance records.
I absolutely agree with you.
He does not come to the Upstate very often.
No. No, he does not. Could be. Yeah. Going to be great. Yeah. Going to be great. Just like I said, I cannot just thank the people at Three Count Wrestling enough just for the opportunity to be a part of what they're doing. The type of, it's something that I can do with my son. He sat right there behind us. Of course, he was bugging me for money most of the night.
He was doing that,
eating pizza and popcorn. It was good to see George South the other night as well.
Yeah, man, I had a good conversation with him in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Got to have a good talk with him about some things.
Yeah.
Maybe
we'll touch some of that when we're talking about the network here.
Yeah, we will. I'll kind of save that for that, some of his take and his opinions on some of that.
Yeah.
Because that's what we talked about, all that new content that's come up on the network. Just remember that when we switch out of kayfabe mode, my credibility will come back.
Yeah. But this is fun.
This is fun. Yeah, is I good. Mean – Everybody knows what the wrestling – I just want to say this, and I don't mean – everybody knows what the wrestling business is and what it isn't. Okay?
Yeah.
But, man, if you can't have fun with it
– Right.
You don't have to go – I can't – you don't have to go on social media and congratulate each other for a great match.
Right.
After it's over with. You know what I mean? You can kind of keep it alive a little bit.
Right.
You
right.
And that's what we're trying to do.
And I appreciate your role in helping me understand where that line is And, you know, I defer to you on all that stuff because you've been there and you've done it. So it's just.
Well, I'll give you a piece of, so we can go back into real. There was a moment in the match where you, on commentary, used an insider's
turn. I did.
And I gave you this look and you look back at me like, you know.
Yeah.
And here's one piece of criticism.
Right.
I feel like you can criticize me too.
Right.
There were a couple of times you would say, oh, the good guys did this or the bad guys did that. My criticism and advice would be, don't tell me what they are.
Right.
Don't tell me he's a good guy. Don't tell me he's a bad guy. Tell me why.
Yeah.
Instead of using those terms.
Gotcha.
Explain
no,
what someone does that makes them a hero.
Yeah.
And what someone does or doesn't do that makes them
very
the
good.
Villain. You know what I mean? Like
no, that's
that
great.
That was something that I wanted to tell you, like after the thing, and then we got to talking about other stuff, and I wanted to, while it was on my mind, say,
no, that's good. No, I appreciate that.
Instead of using those terms, like, tell me why he's a bad guy. Don't tell me he is a bad guy. Tell me why.
Right.
Don't tell me why he's the hero.
Gotcha.
Or tell me why he's the hero. Don't tell me he's the hero.
Gotcha.
Paint the picture with words. I think,
I dumbed it down.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, when I think back about the greatest announcers,
yeah,
Jim Ross and Gordon Solie, Lance
Russell. I'm
not
there yet, is what you're saying.
You're not there yet. I'm not there either. Don't get
right,
me wrong.
Right.
I'm learning how to do it just like you are.
Right.
Okay. Because it's a new thing for both of us, and that's fun.
Dude, it's great.
Like, that's fun to be there.
Yeah.
We do have the best seat in the house.
Yeah.
Man.
We really do.
We're like right up on the ring, and we get to do this.
Yeah.
I would pay to go to this show, and I get to go to these shows for free. And
we
be a
have
part
been
of
paying
it.
To go to these
yeah,
shows.
Yeah, right. But when I think back on the greatest announcers, it's not the guys that would call every single move.
Right.
Every single hold. It was a guy that could paint a picture with words
yeah.
about here's what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And how can I enhance what you're seeing with my voice?
Right. Right. Yeah. See, to me, wrestling is like if you're listening to a football game on the radio, the guy's got to tell you everything.
Right.
He's got to tell you there's three guys lined
We're
up
lining
on the right
up
side.
On this,
if
right.
you're watching the TV announcer doesn't have to tell you that.
Right.
You can see that.
Yeah.
And I think that's because we do a total audio podcast. When we're doing the color commentary, I have to remind myself that the people will actually be seeing
right
what we're talking about. And so, like you said, you don't have to say everything. No, that's great. I thought we had a great matter of fact. We got some great feedback from Lodi on some stuff the other night on how to do some things.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I actually
just
got some private messages.
Ah,
with him. Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I thanked him for the advice.
Yeah.
And he's, you know.
And
it's not like it's been this long running thing, but.
Right. So let me say this. Like, here you and I are like nobodies.
Yeah.
And yet Lodi took the time to engage with us. He did not have to do that.
No, not at all.
He could have already been gone.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but I mean, he took the time to say, hey, try doing this. I'm not going to tell people.
No, right.
But try doing this because it'll make things come across better. And because he knows, man, believe it or not, he was in WCW.
Yeah.
He worked for NBC for a while. And I mean, he knows a little bit about setting up camera shots and things
yeah.
of that nature. And it was good, great.
We have so,
it was
like,
beyond good. It was great advice that will allow me to engage people a little bit more.
And I hope. Listen, I hope people, no matter, you know, what side of the fence you're sitting on, if you're in the wrestling business or if you're just a fan, listen to this. I hope it comes across that Mark and I want to be sponges. We want to hear everything. We want to absorb everything. We want to learn. We want to get better. The ins and outs of things, how things fly. The more I learn, the more I figure out how much I don't know. And even in what you just said a second ago, something I don't something that you realize when you're listening to an announcer, but you don't hear it verbalized of how to describe something. So I really, really appreciate your feedback. I definitely would say that this match or this card, this was our third time doing color commentary for something like this. And they've all been fun, okay? But this one just felt, I mean, to quote Dave Will, it felt real. It was still real to me.
You know, it did, and it did to me too. And I know the reason that it did was because I allowed myself, like what I said was, I've got to be the advocate.
Right.
For the actions of someone that shouldn't be able to have their actions defended. Mm. I have to do that. And that's not easy.
Right.
I have to justify.
Right.
Things that are not justifiable.
Yeah.
And I have to be a fan.
Yeah.
I have to not allow myself to watch it, examining it and looking for the flaws and looking for the plot. I have to watch this absolutely as a fan who is 100% enthralled with what's going on. And I have to react the way that the guy reacted at Survivor Series when Undertaker was going to climb up on the top, the way that I don't.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen me act that way at a wrestling show before, where I'm going nuts and screaming and saying,
right.
I don't do that.
We lost our voices.
Right. Saturday night. I just don't do that. That's not my natural personality.
Yeah.
And I realized that in order to be hyped up, that I can't naturally allow my own person. I had to be a different person.
Yeah.
To do that.
And to me, it was the opposite. I had to be more myself.
Right. You had to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah. I had to quit being Phil Simms and had to be Heath Mulligan.
Right.
You know? I don't know what I was trying to be.
No, I remember telling you, you've got to be more like you.
Yeah.
You're trying to talk like what you think an announcer is supposed to sound like,
yeah.
And you just need to be more like you,
yeah.
And I've got to be less like me.
Yeah.
I remember us having that conversation. Yeah. I've got to allow myself to, when Ken Magnum's going to block Lodi from coming out, well, he's going to attack him right as he comes through the curtain, and Lodi's coming through the crowd on the other side, and I'm having to holler at Ken, turn around, you know.
That was great.
Ken, you got to turn around.
That was great. That was really great. And, oh, so much fun, man. Just so much fun. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you're listening to this, wrestling's just not fun anymore.
No.
It's not fun because you
But
don't.
It is when it was for me that night. It
right.
was fun. I enjoyed wrestling.
And so what you got to do, listen, you got to figure out, because, listen, let me be your armchair psychologist right here. I hear you and I see you. And you're letting the thing that used to give you the most joy and the most pleasure, you're letting it sour you, okay? And Mark says it better than me. Life's too short to watch bad wrestling. Life's too short to let wrestling ruin your life. So find the wrestling, whether it's on the network or if it's on YouTube or if it's find it. I don't care where you got to look. Find it. It's worth taking some time. You got 3 hours on Monday night. You know Raw's going to suck. Turn it up. You got time. Go on High Spots, highspots.tv. Find that golden nugget that'll pull you back in where your hand is touching his hand. Find that again. And rekindle that passion. I love seeing somebody like Justin Donahue. He's been out of wrestling. He started listening to our show, went to Raw Monday night.
Right.
And was able to have fun at Raw because he just kind of let himself go.
Right. He went to have fun. He went to enjoy it.
And the New Day liked one of his tweets.
And that made his day.
Hey, right, right. You know, if anybody, listen, if everybody could have as much fun as Mark and I did at a wrestling show, that's the magic. It's magical. It's great. It's awesome. So, listen. There's a banner above this episode. I'm hoping that the Munchbox is back in stock. They're out of stock.
Oh, are they?
Listen, that's how popular they are.
Hey, people love them.
I love them. People love the Munchbox. So, there's a banner. Click on that. What's a Munchbox? Hey, you got a college student. You got somebody in the military. This is...
Maybe you like the Double Dropkick show and you want to send me one.
Yes.
I would encourage anybody. Send me a message. I'll give you my address. You send me a Munchbox because you appreciate what we do here.
That's right. Or a Starbucks gift card or...
Anything, really.
$1,000.
I'll take cash. I mean...
You take Scottish money.
Heck yeah.
But click on that banner. As Drake said, just click that like button. Did you hear that?
Just click that like button.
We're Double Dropkick Show on Facebook. Click the like button. The Wrestling You Grew Up With, that's the group where we talk about wrestling. Great group. Great group of guys. Appreciate all our administrators and moderators on there. You can go to DoubleDropkick.com to listen to all our episodes. Go to iTunes. Go to Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app. All of our episodes are there. Really helps if you hit the download button. That helps our algorithm. As Mark said the other day, with the 843rd most popular, I think we're a little bit higher than that. But again, you know, thank you. Never would have thought when we started just this podcast after eating chicken wings that we'd have the opportunities that we've had. And very grateful, very thankful. And yeah.
That's it.
I really don't have, it was just a great night, and I'm glad we've had this opportunity to dissect our evening.
Me too.
And I want to send a shout out to Tommy Battles, my youth pastor, helped us out getting the pictures developed of the VIPs and helped us with some camera work, and just an all-around good guy.
Yeah, man. That was cool.
And I can't buy you lunch, but I can give you a shout out on a podcast. We would love for you to give us a shout out on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
And we want to wish you and yours Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Festivus, which is coming up shortly. So as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.